Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to the Brain Lady Speaks podcast / videocast today. I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson, and I am very happy to and honored that you are taking the time to take a listen or to watch this video with my amazing guest, Kim McLaughlin. Kim, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you. We have important things to talk about.
I know, exactly. And for the audience listening, we may reference from time to time our history together. Like we've known each other for a long time, from networking with women entrepreneurs to now working in the corporate world much more, and oftentimes shared wonderful conversations. So I'm looking forward to this conversation today, Kim.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dive into the conversation, I'm going to read for the audience your professional bio. So okay. Kim McLaughlin, MA, is committed to helping leaders and teams and in burnout in their organization. She helps leaders and employees come to work feeling well, energetic, and ready to work. Kim has a Master's of Arts degree in clinical psychology and is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She has worked with people to increase their mental and emotional wellness for over 25 years. She helps people to use her signature 6-pillar strategies to increase communication, wellness, coping skills, interpersonal relationships, and conflict resolution. Through keynotes, breakouts, trainings, and coaching wellness strategies, she is able to help people manage stress, burnout, and thrive. So what a topic. What a topic.
It's always a good topic to talk about stress.
I know, right? Because it's always there, right? It's something that even right now, you know, the last 3 years has just been, wow, such a stress inducer.
It has. And it's interesting because, you know, when I talk about corporate or business, it's like, it's not like you can just go home and, you know, I feel stressed there and it doesn't follow me to work or business. And it isn't like it happens in work and doesn't follow me home. It's really, it's all life. And so it's like, it's not even like you can do this work-life balance. It's just life.
It's just life.
And yeah. It exists in all kinds of places, and we can try and, do things to not have it influence home or work, but it tends to all blend after a certain amount of time if it keeps going on.
Yeah. And I put away that whole work-life balance term. It's more for now. I call it work-life flux, right? It's just like you have to be flexible. You have to, especially because there are so many listeners and so many people now that are doing either hybrids or completely from home. So your work is in your home, so that the pressure is on both sides. And the sad thing is it's where you actually sleep, where it's supposed to be your sanctuary, right?
Well, right. Or you take a spot in your bedroom to do your work, or you have, like in my house where I have a separate office, but I can hear what else is going on around. Or, you know, my husband used to work downstairs in the living room when he was doing some hybrid. It's like, you never know where you're going to end up. And the being flexible, but it's a different way of doing work. It's a different way of doing work today than it was 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it has, even if you are back in the office, there are things that have definitely been affected. And there is that, kind of that stress level that I definitely don't feel it's gone back to pre-pandemic. And I think that it's, you know, it's definitely something that everyone is dealing with. And depending on what time of year, you know, if you're coming up to the holidays, right, then there's that extra stress, that extra that
It's interesting you talk about the, we just were talking about bleeding the work and home life bleeding in together. And it makes it just a little bit more complicated, or to me, it's like, it's even more important to look at like, how are we going to manage stress, and how are we going to literally come to the table in a way that feels enlivened and and positive and full of joy and love, you know, that when we're missing that, we feel off and feel horrible and feel angry. And it doesn't have to be that way, but it's tough to move out of that spot when you're feeling that way.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you don't even know it, right? Some people, their life is just so chronic stress that they don't even realize that they're functioning from a place of stress, and that's affecting their performance.
That's really interesting you say that, because always when I talk with people and do trainings about stress, is I always say the first thing you got to do is identify it. You have to notice that it's happening, because if you don't notice it's happening, you know, what people will do, you've seen this, everybody's seen this, where, you know, their jaw is clenched, their fist is clenched, their shoulders are clenched. I'm yelling, I'm sorry. But you know, the thing comes down is like, okay. Yeah. But there's all these indications physically that you are. And when you can start to notice, I like to go through like with the assessment of the stress, you know, notice in your head, what are you thinking? Notice in your body, how physically are you feeling? Because I can tell you there are certain signs in my body that I know, Kim, you're a little bit stressed. For me, often it's my jaw gets tight and tense, and I can feel it. My shoulders get tight and tense, and it's like, something's going on. But you got to be able to assess it first to even be able to address it.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people when I'm teaching them how to do the mindful meditation, right, it's just taking a couple of minutes and kind of visual walking through your body from head to toe and back. And, you know, what is it you're feeling? That it's great. You got to identify it first before you know how to, right? You got to know where the problem is before you can really fix it.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, you, the two of us work a lot in that corporate sector, and we see the results of stress and we can list statistics like the billions of dollars that are lost annually because of work-related stress and missed days and poor performance and lack of productivity. I mean, the list just goes on. Yeah. What have you seen and noticed how stress or chronic stress is affecting or showing up in the workplace?
Well, one, I think it's been, it's hard to know anymore. I think there's this confusion about what to do with it. And like, it tends to be put off into, well, just go to EAP. You know, I'm a psychotherapist by training, and I used to do work with EAPs, and EAPs really have a place for it. And I think it becomes really tough for, you know, the levels of management to know what to do. And so, well, you're struggling, you're a little angry, go to EAP, they'll help you. And I would always sit there when I would talk with people coming through EAP and go, I could help you, but dang, I could really help the rest of you if we could have a larger look at it. And so it becomes the, once again, noticing. EAP is Employee Assistance Program. So for any of you that haven't used them, generally in HR management, you know that if your employee is struggling, you send them to Employee Assistance Program, which is like therapy, managed care therapy through the company. And I just think that if we can develop systems or ways to address these things within our group, you know, within the managers across the levels, and then with the teams, that literally you could have such a huge effect to help people feel better coming to work. Because we just said work is part of life. Work and home are just part of the balancing of life.
Absolutely. And I think if you can affect, that goes back to one of the things that I like talking about is improving the company culture. So if you have programs in place and the leaders are trained and the teams are trained on really how to deal with this stress, as you said, or create a lower stress work environment as a whole. Like there's always going to be deadlines. It doesn't matter what company, right? There's always going to be a deadline that has to be hit on a project or, you know, rollout of programs or, you know, customer, you know, getting things out to the customers on time. But if you can manage that better,
right,
by creating the programs. So why is it like, let's talk a little bit about, we've seen it. We know the stress is showing up in the workplace. How do you see that actually? Like, what's the tangible problems that it creates if you're not addressing the stress?
Well, we know that people will be out. I can't tell you how many people I know of that are out on sick leave. You know, you're out on sick leave, stress leave, FMLA. And also just that quiet quitting, you know, people getting ready to go or more just pulling back on what they're doing with their work. It affects productivity. And also what I've noticed is that there's so much anxiety going on that I notice people kind of churning in their head and not being able to get projects done, not getting things done on time, which affects everybody across the team because they're so stuck in feeling stressed and anxious that there's no way they're not able to find a way out of it to be productive. So, you know, a lot of money is spent on trying to accommodate all of these pieces that aren't working right.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes what companies in general tend to, you know, this is the way we've always done it. We've always had these systems in place. So the employees just need to utilize the systems, or the workers just need to utilize the systems or what we already have in place. And they're not, I think they need to be more willing to embrace new ways of looking at things, because we all know, or I should say we don't all know, but research will tell us, will show us through some of this neuroscience research that's coming out more and more, how much stress affects your physical health, how much just, you know, that when that stress activity takes place in the brain, you suppress your immune system, you suppress your digestive system. So the more this happens, if this is happening on a daily, regular basis, then your workers are developing chronic illnesses, chronic digestive issues, and that's going to lead to more sick days, right? To more
misery. And that people being out and sick or underproducing is huge, a huge problem. And that if we, rather than just do it the way we've always done it, is to really embrace this different approach, which really is about how do I come to work and come to the table being the way, you know, working and being the way I want to be. And that takes actually a lot of courage for a management team, you know, for the C-suite. It takes so much courage to say, we want to be the place that people want to come to work. We want to be the place where we talk about the problems. We want to be the place where everybody feels well, right? Mind, body, spirit. We want to be that place because then people want to come to work. They want to get things done and they want to produce, right, for their customers. And that's what we're all looking for. It makes you feel good to do a good job.
Yeah.
It literally makes you feel, it feels good to do a good job. So when we're providing this atmosphere where people get things done in a way that's positive and productive, you feel good inside.
Yeah. And this is absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. And this is one of the things that has shifted in the last few decades, because years ago, for a long time, it's like, oh, the best place to work is going to be the one that has the highest PTO, you know, has the extra food, the nice cafeteria, the nice comfortable workstations, you know, the best 401k package. It's like that was the focus for so long. And yet current studies show again and again that that's not what's drawing people. I mean, yes, people are concerned about their salary and they're shooting for certain benchmarks financially, but what is becoming more and more important to them is an environment where those softer skills, those, you know, quote unquote softer skills, those other things that aren't the tangible dollar, but rather that culture of support, the understanding, the, you know, the communication, the engagement, those are so much more important to someone today.
They just provide you to feel better about yourself. I was just thinking, like, currently as you and I are recording this, a lot of those places that provide all those perks are doing some big layoffs right now. Talk about stress to have it, you know, on the front page of the paper that they're considering layoffs or all the things that are happening. So it becomes like, you know, be careful about what you find important. And what I think, you know, I hope the message that we get through today is that stress is not productive and it leads you feeling bad. What happens is, so let's say you go to work where you feel stress, you're going to take it home. So then what do you do at home? Well, to feel better for the next day, sit in front of the television, eat food that you think is going to make you feel
comfort.
Better.
Oh, comfort,
alcohol, smoke something, like all these things that you try and do to recuperate to go back into the grind the next day. And so it really is noticing, how do I want my life to be? And is stress serving me or not? That's really to me does it serve me or not? And if it's not, let's look at some other ways to manage life, work, business, so that we can feel differently at home and at work.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And this is that reason why, you know, having a culture at work, or for those who are listening, who are in the leadership position, it's crucial that they understand how their activity impacts that in the office, so right. that they can institute change or support change, or as you said earlier, you know, it's a little scary, but they can be brave and move forward and provide more than just a mental health program where they're providing counseling or things like that, but literally how you can be proactive in front of it.
Correct.
And, you know, what does that look like for you when you're talking about companies helping on that end?
Well, I was thinking that, to me, what I think is important is first for the leader to look at how they're feeling and really go through that process of, where is my stress? Where is it? And be really honest, at least with yourself, about where is it showing up? And then the big, bold move can be in your team meetings. I want to talk about stress, like really, literally this conversation. I always recommend listen to this podcast, listen together. I'm really serious. Like, listen together to what we're talking about and all the areas as professionals you and I are seeing, and as people in the situation, listen and just kind of, because what'll happen is when you hear us talking, it'll spark ideas of like, oh, that's right. Oh, that does affect me. But having this conversation with the team about how is stress showing up for you? What is going on? And then we can have this opportunity of being honest and not seeking to blame. And this is, and truly, Julie, like, this is where having an expert on your team, an outside expert like you and me, coming in and helping to design how we have this conversation can lead it in a path that can be super productive, because that's literally what we want. If you're going to be brave and have these conversations, have somebody behind you helping you introduce the idea, because there can be such a huge win by having the conversation and beginning to look at what do we need to do and how do we need to be with each other.
Yeah.
So we can have this change so that we literally all don't feel stressed all the time.
Right. Yeah. Very good. And it takes an outside component oftentimes, because you know, it's that it's when you're in the center of things, you're not always able to see everything. And there might be, you know, pushback or pullback from the team members going, I'm not going to say anything to my boss. I'm not, you know, but if there's that,
the fear, that outside party, fear of what are we going to share? And so having that opportunity and really it also leads to having to have a place where people feel safe to begin to have that conversation. And how do we work with each other in a way that feels good? Mm-hmm. And at least that isn't increasing our stress, right? The stress can come from a lot of other places besides the work. But at least while we're together, we can have some feeling of just feeling good.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So there's a lot of talk about mental health in the news, in companies, in organizations. Mm-hmm. What really is mental wellness? Like what really does that look like? How would you explain helping to build a culture where it supports mental wellness?
Yes. So it's not mental illness. So when we talk about mental wellness, it's not mental illness. Mental illness would be a diagnosable psychiatric illness, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, lots of things that are in the mental illness side. And everybody can, it doesn't matter if you have a mental illness or not. Mental wellness means how do we come to work and how do we feel our most productive, vibrant self, right? And that I feel like I can get things done. I feel valued. I feel supported. I see that I can have a conversation and we can get to some kind of conclusion. If I have a difficulty with somebody, I can talk to somebody about that. That all equals wellness.
Yeah.
That all equals wellness. And that's what we're talking about is how do we come together with each other? And it's interesting because it's an individual component, right? How we talked earlier about the boss checking in with themselves. How are they doing with their stress? How is it showing up? But it's all individual, but then it's also then how we come together and how it works together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's kind of getting it on multi levels, like me individually, how am I showing up? How is my stress? And then how is my wellness showing up? But then among the team, right? If it's a team that's struggling, you can guess that there's some lack of wellness, mental wellness in there. It just, somebody's not feeling good. That's just how it is. And truthfully, it isn't a blame of one person, right? It's a system.
Right. Yeah.
It's a system. So I've been trained in system therapy, and that is all the pieces in the system affect how the system works. It's not just one person. So this is not about, and it would never be about blaming one person. They're the problem, because that's just not how it works. It's just not how it works.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
We want wellness for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Not just for one person.
Yeah. Yeah. And that affects the culture, right? If you're isolating, if you're making a scapegoat out of someone, then that's just going to destroy your culture.
Correct. That's not being in a situation where there's wellness, because there's not going to be blaming going on.
Right. 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 Exactly. So with that, let's wrap it up with giving some tangible bits of advice or actual actionable steps.
Yeah.
That businesses that leaders listening to this, mm-hmm. can start addressing stress and anxiety among their workforce. How can they start to do something proactive right now?
Okay. One of the things they could do is have a conversation. Well, one is what we had talked about earlier is really looking at themselves and where is my stress at? Right. Where is my stress at? I like, you know, a simple way to do it, a doable would be 1 to 10 scale. 1, it's not affecting me. 10, it's extraordinary. And 5 is in the middle. I could go either way. Anything above a 5, you've got a problem. But also then having that conversation with everybody on the team. Where are you at with this? What's going on for you? And doing that without feeling or without being judgmental or fighting back, right? And then notice if it's hard for you to have these conversations, that is the time to invite in a consultant, right? Invite in a consultant that will help you map out how do we have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because we know that having this conversation, beginning that process, will help people feel better at work, less stress. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're looking for, because people then feel better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. So open up the conversation is the message. And if it's a tough conversation for you to have, then bring in a consultant, have them come in and have that that conversation, or be the go-between or the buffer or the guidance. You know, sometimes people just, they just don't know how to have that conversation. Like, do I just walk up to that person and say, are you stressed? And if so, why? Like, it's,
that's a tough conversation to have in families.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Families have a hard time with that. If you have a hard time with your spouse having that conversation, with your parents, with your kids, it's probably going to be you're going to have a hard time at work. No judgment. Just it's a tough conversation. There's nothing easy about having that conversation.
It is. And there are certain ways you have to prep your own brain as a leader, because our egos, all of us, it's just kind of human nature. Right? Our egos will get in the way. If somebody says something that we're going to perceive as being an attack on our personality or who we are as a being, well, instantly we're going to go into a stress response. And when we do that, the prefrontal cortex shuts down. We can't think right. And then it's a mess. So, you know, we have to kind of put that aside, and having someone there kind of helping keep that all on track is very beneficial.
I think you're right. So Julie, that, and I just really want to highlight what you just said, is that you just said your brain shuts down. It's not like you can control it. I mean, we can do lots of things to lessen the stress, right? And then your brain won't shut down. But like, there's this physiological response that happens that if we don't set it up for success, we've set it up for failure.
Exactly.
Failure or not getting to the resolution that we want. So I think you make a really good point that there's a physiological process that can happen that can make it really tough. And we can move beyond that when we have somebody behind us helping us move forward.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, you know, we are just about out of time today. And so we need to wrap this up. I love this conversation. We're going to continue this. We've already talked about it before we started recording. We're going to continue this conversation because it's one that needs to be continued. It's one that needs to be talked about and just facilitated, right? Just opening up the conversation, opening up the dialogue, and then giving tangible, you know, tips and tricks that you can use. So I love it. And I've loved having this conversation with you. And I know that people who are listening, it would be great for them to stay in contact with you. So they can stay in contact with you on LinkedIn as Kim. Is that Kim Dot McLaughlin? We're going to put it up here on the dash. McLaughlin. Anyways, and on Instagram, it's Feed Your Soul Unlimited. Those are great ways that you can stay connected on social. And you'll also give a complimentary discovery call as well. So what does that look like?
That would be us getting on the phone and talking about what's going on for you. One of my superpowers is to talk with people and help figure out what's going on. Really, just get to what the point is of the problem. So sign up for a free call. We'll just talk and see what is going on for you, to see what the next step is going to be for you to move out of that problem in the workplace around stress.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And so that's open, I'm sure, to individual workers as well as leaders or C-suite.
Absolutely. Anybody who's interested, please sign up. I would love to talk to you.
Awesome. And for those of you who are listening as a podcast, and all of the go to the show page once you're in a safe place, and you'll see all the links on how to stay connected with Kim. You can also shoot her an email at kim@feedyoursoulconsulting.com. And her phone number is also listed on the show page as well. So Kim, great conversation. Thank you so much for being on the Brain Lady Speaks podcast today. Wonderful information that I think needs to be heard and you know, involved in open more conversations around this. So thank you for having this conversation with me
today. Thank you, Julie. And thank you everybody for listening.
Absolutely. Wonderful. All right. For those of you who you have all the ways that you can stay connected with Kim, you can also stay connected with us at the Brain Lady Speaks podcast by liking us and subscribing to us on all of the, you know, whatever your favorite podcast download thing is. We're on iHeart and iTunes and all of the above, Spotify, Spreaker, all of those different things. You can also follow me on social. I am pretty much Brain Lady Julie everywhere. So I'm Brain Lady Julie on Instagram, Brain Lady Julie on LinkedIn, if you want to stay connected there. I am Purple Brain Lady as my business page on Facebook, as well as just Brain Lady Julie on my personal page. You can also connect with Your Best Mind Online on Facebook as well. You can shoot us emails if you have a topic that you would like to see discussed on or hear discussed on the Brain Lady Speaks podcast. You can shoot that over to our liaison, Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, at brainladyspeaker.com. And at brainladyspeaker.com, you can also find all of the different topics if you would like to have me come into your organization and chat with you or your organization about the different topics that are really plaguing leaders and culture and managing that stress today and all those beautiful personalities. So lots of ways that you can stay connected with me. And if this was of value to you, I really encourage you to show us some social media love, Kim and I. Give us a thumbs up, give us a like, and give us a share. You know, help this information, this message get out there, because I think it's a message that is very timely and will help a lot of people to hear it. So we appreciate that. And once again, Kim, thank you for being my guest today and having this conversation. Thank you for all of the listeners. And I want you to go out there and simply enjoy every moment.